text for the sermon this morning is found in the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. 11 and 12, Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one consuming passion of the devil is to spoil and to destroy the work of God. For this reason, he tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he attempted to ruin God's perfect work. The devil hates God's perfect work of creation in 6 days of light and of darkness. He was determined to mar it and to destroy it. When Jesus Christ lived here on earth, the devil brought out all of his resources to attack and to destroy the Lord Jesus. He failed to defeat our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, Jesus Christ defeated Satan in his death on the cross, in his resurrection from the dead. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ disarmed principalities and powers, and he put Satan and his forces to an open shame, triumphing over them. The devil's purpose today is to damage and to destroy the church of God and every individual member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to that end, Satan seeks to destroy families. Satan seeks to destroy the faith of children and grandchildren. The church is God's most glorious work. She is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he loved and for whom he gave his own life and poured out his precious blood. The devil rejoices to ruin any part of the church of Jesus Christ. This means that the devil especially attacks Christian people and the church. The devil is particularly concerned to defeat you and me. His goal is to besmirch the glory of the triune God and to show the failure of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, and of his Holy Spirit to redeem his people from their sins. Secondly, this also means that the more Christian we are, and the more Christian we become, the more we can expect the devil to attack us, and the more wiles he will use against us. No one has ever been tempted by the devil as our Lord Jesus Christ was when he was here on earth. The devil himself always came to tempt Jesus. The devil, with all of his powers fully displayed, confronted him. Some of the principalities and powers of the devil are sufficient to tempt you and me. The more conformed we are to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, the more we should expect the devil to attack us. That is why our Savior speaks with solemnity in our text in Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the Lord repeats this in verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The Lord wants us to realize the conflict that we face. The more like Christ we become, the more we are aware of this conflict that we face. This is the universal testimony of all the saints who have gone before us. As they grow in the Christian life, as they grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, as they are more sanctified and more conformed to the image of our Lord, the fight against the devil becomes fiercer and hotter. The devil even attacks many of God's people on their deathbeds. The Christian life is not a life of ease. It is a life of fierce and constant battle. And therefore we must take up the whole armor of God, for we do not wrestle against blood and against flesh, and we need every part of the whole armor of God in order that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The more that you grow in the Christian life, the hotter and the fiercer the fight will become. The devil does not need to use his wiles against the unbeliever and the non-Christian with as much cunning and art. There's no need for the devil to be so subtle to make worldly and sinful people continue in their sin or fall deeper into their sin. There's no need for the devil to use his clever tricks to make unbelievers desecrate the holy day of public worship, the Lord's Day. There's no need for the devil to use his clever wiles to make unbelievers dishonor father and mother and those in authority over them. There's no need for the devil to use his clever strategy to make unbelievers murder the innocent. That's an easy task for the devil. Sinful desires that arise in the fallen nature of the ungodly will do these things automatically. The moment God translates us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, into the kingdom of light, the moment we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, with both body and soul, in both life and in death, the devil realizes that he has to use all of his wiles and all of his subtlety and craftiness to defeat us. A good test of our standing as Christians is our knowledge of the wiles of the devil. How does the devil attack us? The devil attacks us with his wiles. We read in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." Wiles and stratagems are subtle. Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his subtlety, by his craftiness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "To this end I also wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices." Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, that a minister of God's word may fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. What is a snare? Have you ever used a snare? It is a trap. Maybe a trap that someone sets to catch an animal or to catch a bird. And the real art of trapping is to conceal the trap or the snare. You put the trap among leaves or branches of trees, and the animal is attracted to the bait but not the snare. Snare is a subtle trap that is hidden by camouflage. Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. The devil is always laying traps and setting snares. They're all around us. Apostle Paul exhorts the minister Timothy, his son in the faith, to show believers the snares that are set for their souls and teach them how to avoid the wiles of the devil in order that they may not be taken captive by him to do his will. Or if they have already been snared and caught in the devil's trap, they may be set free. They may escape. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 44, that the devil speaks lies of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The devil lies because he is trying to trap us with his wiles. He does not speak the truth. No, he always twists the truth of God. His words are always intended to trap us and to get us into his clutches. Lying is a prominent part of the wiles of the devil. Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 24, that false Christs and false prophets will even show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul warns of apostles who are false and deceitful workers who transform themselves into an angel of light. And Paul refers to this even here in his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 14. He writes that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. These false teachers are the wiles of the devil. Paul refers to this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, where he writes, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." We are surrounded by the devil's cunning craftiness and unrighteous deception. And Paul warns in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit of God expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 warns, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Scripture is constantly warning us of the wiles and the craftiness and the subtlety and the deception of the devil. We are fighting not blood and flesh, but the devil with his wiles, his principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this age and spiritual things of wickedness in the heavenly places. How does the devil use these wiles? He transforms himself into an angel of light. He does not always appear in the same way. Sometimes the devil comes as a roaring lion and attacks like a howling hurricane with noise and tumult and sweeps you off your feet with alarm and terror. Sometimes he turns all of his fury and vehemence of his antagonism against the Lord God upon you. He will thunder and roar at you, and you will wonder if you belong to Jesus Christ. But when the devil came to Eve In the Garden of Eden, he did not come as a roaring lion. He came in a pleasing, enticing way, and he beguiled Eve. He comes as your friend, who is there to help you. Listen to him speaking to Eve in the garden. Has God really said that you should not eat of this particular tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. God does not want you to be like him. He wants to keep you in the dark. Do not listen to him, listen to me. Assert yourself. Be bold and courageous. Another method the devil uses is insinuation. He suggests and insinuates. He came to Jesus Christ in the wilderness and he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread." The devil may come to you and suggest, "If you believe the gospel and aren't a Christian, make a fool of yourself. People will laugh at you and not respect you." At other times, the devil comes as an angel of light. He comes as one who is an authority on the truth of God. He comes quoting the scripture. He came to Jesus Christ in the wilderness and he said, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." He comes as one who wants to enlighten you in what the Word of God says. He offers to lead you into deeper truths, into better truths, which no one has ever seen before. And that is what he does with all those who believe and teach false doctrine and who wander and stray from the scriptures. He comes as one who is eager that we should not be simple and naive, but that we should understand and believe the deep truths of God that no one has ever understood before. And he entices us to take up some new and complex idea instead of the simple and straightforward truth that people have believed and taught for centuries from the Word of God. Satan also entices us to doubt God and to doubt his Word. We have an example of this in the Apostle Peter, Matthew chapter 16. Peter doubted that Jesus would suffer many things and be killed and raised on the third day. We read in Matthew 16, verse 21, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. And Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Those who troubled the Apostle Paul and the church in Corinth were instruments of the devil, who appeared as an angel of light. They said, "Paul's presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. We are amazed that you have listened to him. He only knows a few things and he's ignorant of the profound truths of God." The Apostle Paul answers them in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" The false teachers came as angels of light to lead the people into greater truth that is more complex and for those who are more mature. And that, brothers and sisters, is the way in which many errors have been received by God's people and by the Church of Jesus Christ. That is what has happened in so many churches in our own land and in other lands of the world. They have been enlightened by the devil, who appears as an angel of light with new doctrines that are deeper and more profound than our simple fathers, things they did not understand. Sometimes the devil hides himself, and he ridicules the idea that there's a devil at all, or that there are any principalities or powers. There are people both in the world and in the church who do not believe that these things even exist. The devil is at his cleverest when he persuades people that there is no devil. The devil is a master at hiding himself. He's a master at camouflage and deception. He is pleased when he can convince God's people and the Church of Jesus Christ that there is no devil, there are no principalities, there are no powers, there are no demons. The church is drugged, deluded, asleep, unaware of the fierce conflict. The devil is an expert at instigating false teachings. The devil loves to send forth false ideas among the people of God, spread doubt, and cause people to deny the truth of the Scriptures in some way. It's not just the result of scholarship. It's also the activity of the devil seeking to deceive and to lead astray. Sometimes the devil appears as an open liar, denying the truth, speaking lies, speaking falsehoods. The whole history of the church shows that lies and deceptions and wiles and subtlety are the constant activity of the devil among the people of God. Every church council, from the first council in Jerusalem in Acts 15, was to answer the lies of the devil. And every creed and confession of faith of the church was to set forth the truth of God in contrast to the lies and the deception of the devil, which he spreads by his wiles and his subtle deceit. The devil can only succeed when the people of God are lazy or sleeping, when they do not diligently and constantly put on the whole armor of God and stand strong, fighting in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil can only succeed when God's people do not pay attention to or grasp and hold firmly the true and faithful teaching of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul warns the elders in the church in Ephesus concerning this very thing. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28... he tells the elders, take heed to yourselves, take heed to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God with which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. The devil uses his subtlety to attack the minds of men. One of God's greatest gifts to man is his mind, by which he is able to think God's thoughts after him in true knowledge and righteousness and holiness. Sin, our sin, has defiled our minds. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, that the devil even blinds the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of God, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. People boast in their free thought. The devil persuades men that when they are most enslaved, they are free. The devil bitterly hates God. He works to stir up hatred. He works to stir up bitter antagonism against God. He does not want God to have any glory. He stirs up man to rage against God's sovereign power over men. And he makes man want to hold on to the illusion of his own power and his own sovereignty. The devil has many wiles. He has many tricks that he can use. Sometimes he tries to overwhelm us with a spirit of fear that often leads to denial. Peter was so bold that he said to Jesus, "Though all men forsake you, I will never forsake you." He was going to follow Jesus Christ wherever he went. And Jesus said to him, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." Peter was afraid of Jesus going to the cross. A few days after Jesus spoke those words to Peter, we see a bold, impulsive, self-confident Peter as a coward, denying Christ, even swearing oaths that he does not know Jesus. Another way that the devil comes and causes havoc is by attacking us with evil thoughts. The devil wants us to have many evil thoughts. You may be reading the Bible, and evil and blasphemous thoughts may come to you. Where do those thoughts come from? What is their origin? The devil hurls them at you. The devil also fills people with superstition. When you look at those who are not filled with the Scripture, they become more and more superstitious. They're afraid of all sorts of things. They're afraid of things that are out of their control. Afraid of everything. That's part of the devil's wiles, to keep people under his control. These fears can be completely irrational. Some people's lives are dominated by such superstitious fears, such irrationality. Those are the wiles of the devil too. The devil also attacks God's people with depression and with discouragement. He works in non-Christians as well as Christians. He depresses the mind. He makes us often concentrate too much on ourselves. He keeps us looking at ourselves and examining ourselves, looking at the past, looking at something that we have done in the past which we should not have done. And he keeps us looking and looking and looking until we're completely depressed. We may doubt whether God has forgiven us our sins. We may doubt whether we are true children of God. We feel unworthy and unclean. We feel that our lives are a failure. We become miserable and unhappy. And the devil rejoices. And he says, "That's what Christianity is like." That's a wile of the devil. And how wrong it is. And we ought to detect it. We should not be depressed. Word of God tells us if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He heals those who backslide. He receives back the prodigal son who went astray. We should not look at the past. We should not look too much at our own failures and our own weaknesses. We should not be depressed. If we are depressed, we are succumbing to the influence of the wicked one. Depression and discouragement, a sense of failure, a sense of utter and complete hopelessness are the result of the wiles of the devil at work in us. Pride also is another manifestation of the wiles and the subtlety of the devil. The devil can encourage pride in us. He encouraged pride in Eve to go against God's prohibition. And Adam and Eve sinned against God. David, in 1 Chronicles 21, had great victories in battle. He conquered all his enemies. And then we read, Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number the people. When David had conquered all his enemies, he tempted David to count his success, to count the extent of his kingdom, to glory in his own strength and might, in his soldiers and armaments. What a terrible temptation pride is. He puffs us up with what we have accomplished. Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, he says, do not appoint a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So many tragedies have happened in the life of the church and in people's lives because that exhortation has not been followed. Here is someone whom God has saved and called unto Himself, a marvelous convert, and the temptation is to put him into some place that he should not be, give him some responsibility that he should not have. And the result often is that he is ruined. He becomes proud of his life. He becomes proud of his accomplishments. And he falls into the trap of the devil. Pride manifests itself in many different ways. It can make us overly sensitive. And when we are overly sensitive, we are easily hurt and we feel hurt. And what havoc that has brought in the Christian church. Pride leads to jealousy, it leads to envy, it leads to a sense of begrudging because we're not appreciated as we should be and someone else is put before us. And in this way, the devil can upset a church and disturb the community of God's people, and he's done so often. His object is always to spoil the great handiwork of God. And especially, the most glorious thing of all, the grace of God in saving His church from sin. He plays on our pride as well as in our tendency to become depressed. The principalities and the powers and the spiritual hosts of wickedness that the Apostle Paul speaks of in our text in Ephesians chapter 6. And the wiles of the devil have so much to do with every one of us. We must be watchful. We must be diligent. We must daily put on the whole armor of God, or we will fall before the wiles of the devil. The devil has so many devices that he uses. He plays on our nature by tempting us and stirring up sinful desires and passions within us. He plays and works on our bodies. We read in Job chapter 2 verse 7 that Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and he smote Job. After Job had lost his sons and Job had lost his animals, Satan touched Job's body. He was covered with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. The devil can cause blindness, dumbness. Luke chapter 13, we read of a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And she was crippled so that she could not even lift herself up. And Jesus said, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, though these 18 years be loosed?" Satan had bound that woman. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, the Apostle Paul writes, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Infirmities and weaknesses, even sicknesses and illnesses, may be the result of the activity of the devil. These are some of the ways in which Satan brings his wiles, in which Satan brings his deception, in which Satan brings his devilish work to destroy the work of God, to hold men and women and children captive to do his will, to separate us from our God and from our Savior Jesus Christ, and to besmirch the glory of the triune God, and to turn away the blessings of God from us. There's only one thing that we can do, and that is to turn unto our Savior Jesus Christ, who is sufficient for us even against all the wiles and the deception of the devil in every form. And that's why the Apostle Paul says in our text, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power of the might of God. Put on all the armor of God. For then you will be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil, against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual things of wickedness in the heavenly places." We face a most relentless, subtle, intelligent, and powerful enemy who can attack us at any time from any place. There's only one place of safety. There's only one place of triumph. There's only one place of protection. And that is in Jesus Christ, who has defeated Satan, who has been raised from the dead, who is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and who is ruling over all things for the good of his people. Put on the armor of God. Put it on today. Put it on tomorrow. Then you will be able to stand. You will be able to see and to thwart in the power of Christ, with his truth and his righteousness and the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation and prayer. All the wiles, all the attacks, all the deception of the evil one, you'll be able to withstand his attacks to the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, it amazes us as we read through the scriptures and read again and again of the work of the devil, whether it be to depress us or to puff us up with pride, or to stir up within us those sinful thoughts and desires, even when we are reading your holy word. And all the many ways in which the devil uses his craft and his subtlety to deceive even the elect. Father, we thank you for the warnings that you have given us in the scriptures to be vigilant, to be watchful, to guard ourselves. And we thank you most of all, Father, that in Jesus Christ we are more than conquerors. We thank you, Father, that in the power of the risen Christ, using all of the armor that you have given to us, we are able to stand against his wiles, against his strategy, against his deception. And Father, we pray that each one here this morning may have greater understanding through your word of those snares that are set for each one in his particular place and in his particular circumstances in life. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we may not walk into the trap of the devil, but that we may be protected and preserved by your almighty power, as our Lord Jesus Christ was when he was tempted by the devil. And we pray, Lord God, that those who have been caught in a snare may be set free by Christ, who holds the devil even in his hand and is able to deliver his people from him. Father, we look at the world and at so many, even in the church, who are blinded, who are deceived by the wiles of the devil. Father, we know that you are able to set them free. We know that you are able to open their hearts to see the truth and to deliver them from it. And we pray that you will do so. And use us, Father, as instruments in your hand to that end, that your church may be preserved and not ruined, that your church may be built and strengthened and not torn down and scattered. Help us then to be diligent and vigilant and to help one another to stand against all of the attacks of the enemy. For he that is in us is greater than the devil who is in the world. So encourage and strengthen our hearts and give us boldness, not in ourselves, but in Christ, through whom all evil and wickedness shall be defeated. Amen.